So today, on behalf of the Sangha of Wat Banana Chat, I would like to express my great appreciation that Tanjokun Patambitok has come to visit us like this. He has a very heavy schedule and many invitations, and it's not easy for him to make the time to come up and spend this time with us. So I myself, and I know all of the Sangha, are very pleased and happy that this visit has taken place, and hope that there will be many more in the future. So this afternoon, Tanjokun has kindly agreed to give a formal discourse, and we were discussing last night the best form for this to take, and decided that Tanjokun would start off speaking in English, in which he has a very good knowledge, but he is not used to speaking publicly in English. And so if he, whenever he feels unable to express himself fully in English, then he will switch to Thai, and I will give a translation. But for the most part, he will try to speak English. So, Kho Nimon Tanjokun Krabom.
My dear Sapramachari and Yat Yom, I am here again after 1 or 2 years. Time seems to pass by very quickly. This time I am on an invitation by Ajahn Chiasaro to talk to the Sangha of Wat Banana Chat. At first, I hesitated whether to speak in Thai or in English. I am afraid that my English is not good enough and I will not be able to express my idea clearly. Therefore, I was inclined to speak in Thai and asked Ajahn Chiasaro to translate it into English. However, I agree with Ajahn Chiasaro, who suggested that I speak alternatively in Thai and in English as I like. For that part that I cannot express clearly in Thai, in English, Ajahn Chiasaro will come to my help. And I also hesitated regarding the topic on which to speak. But now I think there is a topic that is of interest to almost everyone. That is the Buddhist attitude to happiness, and also the opposite of happiness, that is unhappiness. But I think we should make clear the term first. Now, I think we should use the Pali term instead of the English term. The Pali term I mean here is sukha, for happiness, and the opposite is thuk, kwam thuk, or dukkha. And the term dukkha seems to be rather difficult to translate. Sometimes we can translate it as unhappiness, but for many other times we cannot. The term sukha itself seems to mean ease, E-A-S-E, ease. And then dukkha is the opposite of sukha. Therefore, it should be translated as unease or dis-ease. But dukkha is not the feeling in the mind. It also means the nature, the characteristic of on things, on component things, conditioned things. And we find some difficulty with the translation of this term. When we deal with the dukkha of on sankhara, how should we render it into English? The Venerable Puttathasa uses the term unsatisfactoriness for dukkha. Some say conflict. Some say the state of being ill or defectiveness. Defectiveness means something that is not perfect, imperfect, imperfection. Then it is very difficult. And now, let us take first the term, the English term is and unease or dis-ease. And then you can take any other rendering as you like. But now, the question is, what is the Buddhist attitude to sukha, this sukha is, and dukkha, or this is or unease? In the First Noble Truth, we find the truth of dukkha or dukkha satya. Or some render this term as suffering. When people from outside find this translation, they have an image of Buddhism as pessimistic. Buddhism has the first principle of suffering. But to be clear about the Buddhist attitude, we should go on to what is called the kicca, or what we call the obligation, or what we should do, or duty concerning the Arya Satya. All the four Arya Satya have something we call duties towards them. This term or duties is called in Pali kicca. There should be other better terms than duties, but I now cannot think, it does not occur to me. And now we have the duties towards the Arya Satya. The first Satya or Arya Satya, the first noble truth is dukkha, whether is unease or suffering or unsatisfactoriness, as you like. And then the kicca or duties towards the first noble truth of dukkha is parinya. In Pali, parinya means the knowledge or comprehension, or something like diagnosis, or even recognition. This means the first Arya Satya or dukkha is something to be known or comprehended. Our duties towards this Arya Sat is this. Then we come to the second one, the noble truth of the cause of suffering. Towards this Arya Satya, towards this truth, our duties is to eradicate, in Pali, Pahana. Then comes the third noble truth of the cessation of suffering, or Dukkha Nirodha Arya Sat. For this one, our duty is to realize, or the realization of the third noble truth. The third noble truth is the truth of the cessation of suffering, which means Nibbana. Mm-hmm. Our duty is towards it, is to realize it. And then the last one, the last noble truth, is the noble truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. Concerning this one, our duty is to practice. It is called in Pali Bhavana, to develop, development, that is to practice. Now, let us find the place or locate the place for the Dukkha and Sukha. We already find the place for Dukkha. It is in the first Arya Satya, the first noble truth. And it is to be comprehended. This is a matter for knowledge or wisdom. We should be concerned with the first noble truth of Dukkha, with knowledge, true knowledge. And then where is Sukha? Sukha has two places in the Arya Satya. First, as a natural condition, Sukha is usually relative. And as relative Sukha, whether you call it happiness or ease or anything, Sukha, happiness, is something that is also subject to Dukkha. This means Sukha or relative happiness is Dukkha in itself by nature, because it is subject to change. It is not perfect. But Sukha is also something that can be an aim or purpose or objective of a practice. And as the purpose of the practice, it is something that we should experience. Then as something to be experienced or realized, it is in the third noble truth. We can find this even in the meaning of Nibbana. Nibbanang paramang sukhang. Nibbana or Nirvana is the highest bliss. Here, it is in the third noble truth. It is something to be experienced by our life. But what I would like to make an observation here is that Dukkha is something to be comprehended. We should be concerned with it through knowledge or wisdom. It is a matter for knowledge. It is not the matter for us to experience or to try to experience. It is for wisdom or knowledge. And then Sukha. Sukha, as the purpose of the practice, it is something to be realized or comprehended in the third noble truth. Therefore, when a Buddhist practice, he make a progress by freeing himself more and more from dukkha, from unhappiness or from unease. And he makes also progress in experiencing more and more happiness. Then the life of a Buddhist is not life of unhappiness or dukkha, but it is the life of happiness when he practices. And we can distinguish between Buddhism of knowledge and Buddhism of practice now. For knowledge, we have to deal with dukkha. We should know, we should comprehend it, so that we can solve it, we can solve the problem, we can free ourselves from it. But by practicing, we gain more and more happiness. And happiness is even the immediate condition for the arising of samadhi. As you can see in Pali, that the samadhi or concentration has sukha, with the happiness or ease as the immediate condition, which is called in Pali patthathan. In Pali, sukha patthathano samadhi. Therefore, in order to be concentrated, we need sukha. Now, I think it is a point that should be observed, but that is worthy of notice, that the dukkha is for knowledge. Buddhists deal with dukkha through knowledge. And then we deal with happiness through practice. And with practice, we gain more and more happiness, and we are free from suffering or unhappiness. This distinction should be clear. If not, we will be even deceived by the concept itself, and tend to be even pessimistic. Therefore, life of the Buddhist should be life of happiness, not life of suffering, if we practice in the right way. And now, in one way, or at least in one aspect, we can say that the practice of Buddhism is to develop ourselves. I think on this point, we usually agree that the practice of Buddhism is the development of ourselves, because the practice of Buddhism is called in Pali Bhavana, as you see in the Fourth Noble Truth. The Fourth Noble Truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering, our duties towards it is bhavana, or development. Development is the practice of Buddhism. And what should we develop? It is ourselves. We develop ourselves, and we develop ourselves further and further up to the ultimate point. And then when we succeed in the development of ourselves, we are called the Pavitatta. Pavitatta, it is Pavitta and Atta. Atta means Atta, but Atta here is the only conventional term. Called Pavitatto Pavitatta. Pavitta and Atta. Atta means self, and Pavitta means developed. This means the one who has attained to the highest goal of Buddhism is a Pavitatta, one who has developed them himself. And Pavitatta is an arahant,
An Arahant is one who has developed himself in four aspects. The Kaya, according to the Venerable Sariputta, and also the Buddha, the Venerable Sariputta, divides the development of oneself into four aspects. The first one, the quality of an Arahant, is Pavittakayo. This means Pavittatta. One who has developed himself means first Pavittakayo. Pavittakayo means one who has developed his body, or one who has developed himself bodily or physically, first one. And then the second aspect is Pavitta Silo. Pavitta Silo means one who has developed himself morally. Morally also meaning socially. And then the third aspect is Pavitta Citto. Pavitta Citto means one who has developed himself mentally or emotionally, as you like. And then the last one, the last aspect, is Pavitta Panyo. Pavitta Panyo means one who has developed himself in wisdom. I try to avoid the use of the term intellectually because I think the term intellectually does not convey the real meaning. One who has developed himself in wisdom. Then this is the four aspects of one who has developed himself, or Pavittatto. Whoever is Pavittatto, or whoever has developed himself completely, is called an Arahant, one who has developed himself in four aspects. Again, the item, the four items of the develop himself physically, morally or socially, mentally or emotionally, and in wisdom. But the meaning of bodily development is not the same as many people would understand. Develop oneself physically or bodily means we develop our relationship with the physical environment. What is the physical environment? It begins with the four requisites, the pachyasi. We should have proper relationship with the four requisites. Therefore, we have the practice of Bhojane Mattanyutta, for example, to be moderate in eating. This is the practice of Kaya Bhavana, to be moderate in eating or have moderation in eating. How can we have moderation in eating? We have to eat with wisdom. Patisankhayo, we have a consideration, we have deliberated, consider the purpose of our eating, not for so and so, and then for this and this purpose. For example, for the sustenance of the body, for the going on well of our brahmacharya, the good life, and so on. we eat our food. This is the practice of what we call moderation in eating. And then if we can be moderate in eating, we practice the Kaya Bhavana. This is one example. But it means the good relationship or proper relationship with the physical environment, beginning with the four requisites. And we use then not only to eat properly, and then we have our eye, ear, nose, tongue, body to contact with the to have contact with the environment. And then we have to use these faculties properly for quality of life, not in the opposite way, not for the deterioration of the quality of life. And then we should use our eye, ears, nose, tongue in order to, with sati panya, with mindfulness and wisdom, we should not use them in a bad way to be infatuated or to indulge, to increase the delusion and so on. But we should use our eye, ears to increase our knowledge, for example, not to increase delusion. If we can use our eye, ears, nose, tongue in a good way to increase the quality of life, to increase knowledge and wisdom, and to for the constructive purposes, creatively, and then we can say that we have another aspect of the good, proper or good relationship with the physical environment. Then it is to develop ourselves physically, means the use of the eye, ears, nose, tongue, the sense basis in a good way, and also to deal with the four requisites in a good way. Therefore, we have something we call Insiya Sangvara Sila. Insiya Sangvara Sila is for the Kaya Bhavana, is for the development of the body, but it is in reality the development of the physical relationship with the environment, or the development of proper relationship with the physical environment through the sense basis and through our consuming of the requisites and so on. This is the first one, and then we come to the second one. We develop ourselves socially through morality. This is not difficult to understand. And then we develop ourselves mentally through citta bhavana, such as through the samatha bhavana. Especially it is samatha bhavana, or the meditation, calming meditation or tranquility meditation. And lastly, we go to the development of wisdom through the vipassana bhavana. And then when we have developed ourselves in these four aspects, we can say that we have developed ourselves perfectly. And then this is called pavitatta, one who has developed himself, which is the arahanta. And now I have used much time for the to clarify the meaning of the practice of Buddhism means development of ourselves. And now, when we develop ourselves, we make progress in our freedom from suffering, and at the same time, relatively, we gain more and more happiness. This means we experience more happiness. Happiness is also the term that is synonymous with santi, or peace, and freedom. When we progress in the practice, we say we progress in the development of peace and freedom, as sukha, or happiness, is also a synonym for freedom and peace. Therefore, we also make progress in experiencing the happiness or sukha. Now, sukha is a synonym for santi and freedom. And as santi, peace, and freedom, vimutti, is the synonym for nibbana. Therefore, sukha is also nibbana. And as the nibbana, santi, peace, freedom, vimutti, all of them are in the fourth noble, in the third noble truth, belong to the third noble truth of Nirodha. And then our duty towards is to realize and all experience, and then we should experience sukha. And when we develop our sense, we also develop happiness or develop sukha. To develop happiness or sukha means sukha, when develop, that is to change in meaning and quality. As we develop ourselves, sukha or happiness also develop, that is to say, to change in meaning and quality. Now, I would like to give some example of how to develop ourselves in the meaning of developing happiness. And let us see how happiness changes in meaning and quality. This means happiness is not something static, it is dynamic. It changes all the time. What is the first kind of happiness? At first, for the general people or the worldly people, we usually think of sensuality as the source, the first source of happiness. People would like to experience happiness through our eyes, ear, nose, tongue, body. And these are called sensuality. We take this as the first source of happiness. Or for many people, it seems to be the only source of happiness, sensuality. But really, it is not. Then for other people, they have other sources of happiness. What are they? Other than sensuality, many think of power. To have power is also to experience another kind of happiness. Sensuality is connected with wealth, to gain, to have wealth. Then we have sensuality, wealth, power. And then another thing, fame, to be known by other people. These are usually the sources of happiness for many people, or even most people. And then they try to get this thing to gain them. But are they the only sources of happiness? If we develop ourselves, we can see that we have more other sources of happiness and several more sources of happiness. But first, let us see, let us say something about these sources of happiness. The sensuality, wealth, power, and fame. This happiness, this kind or this source of happiness, or even this aspect of happiness, have some characteristic in common. First, all of them are contentious. People contend for this kind of happiness. We think that our happiness can be gained through experience something through our eye, ears, nose, tongue, and then this means we have to get something that is material, the material thing. This means our happiness is dependent on material things, and then we try to get them. Our happiness is dependent on these material things, and then we try to get them. And other people think in the same way, that if they get those things, they will be happy. And then when all of these people think in the same way, they come into conflict. If I gain, you lose. If you gain, I lose. And then my happiness means suffering of other people, and the happiness of other people means my suffering because of the loss and gain. And even fame, we have to be known over other people. And if other people become better known than we, and then we lose. And this kind of happiness is connected with loss and gain. And it is contentious. People contend for this kind of happiness. And then it is not really happy, because it is happiness in under pressure. Under pressure, this means it is tinged with fear or suspicion, at least the fear of loss. And then another thing, another aspect or characteristic is that it is dependent. We are not happy within ourselves. Our happiness is dependent on material thing or something outside of us. Some people, when they grow up in the world, they become even successful in the world, but they lose their freedom because their happiness is dependent on something outside themselves. They cannot be happy in themselves. And this is the way of most people now in the world, especially when we come under the influence of the current system of society, social system of today, the system of competition for material success. All of them is dependent happiness. And then another aspect is that they are transient, subject to change. Change even when we still have success. For example, we have some fame, we become known because of some success. That success remains the same. But if some other people attain to a higher success, becomes better known, then we lose. Our fame becomes something obscure, and we fear of going down into obscurity. Then this is transient happiness. But it is a kind of happiness that is dependent on gaining, of getting and gaining. We gain sensuality, material things to get happiness from or to enjoy. And then we try to get the wealth, to accumulate it. We try to gain power. We try to gain fame. And then they have the characteristic of contentious happiness, dependent happiness, and transient happiness, or unhappiness under pressure, with fear and suspicion, for example. Now, if people do not develop themselves, they can enjoy only this kind of happiness. And because they are, as I mentioned before, dependent, contentious, and transient, there is some unhappiness or dukkha dormant or inside it. This means within it there is unhappiness. Even the pressure itself is unhappiness. And it can cause even mental illness for those who try to gain this kind of happiness. But people can develop themselves. This is the way of the Dhamma. The practice of the Dhamma is also the development of happiness. When we develop ourselves, we can gain another source of happiness. We can experience another kind of happiness. At first, for the first step of developing oneself in happiness. When people deal with material things, as they think that their happiness depends on them, they try to get them. The life of many people, or most people today, is the life of the effort to gain or to get material things. Now they think on the tie of how to get and gain. How I can gain these and those things. But this kind of life is imbalanced. When we deal with material things, if we think only of getting and gaining, and everyone thinks in the same way, everyone's life is imbalanced, and it will cause imbalance in society. To be sure, we will cause imbalance in society by only getting and gaining. It is impossible for everyone to get and gain. To make a balanced society or even balanced life. Getting must be balanced by giving. Therefore, the first ethical point that is stressed by the Buddha is giving or dana. Dana or than is the first ethical or virtue in Buddhism. The reason is apparent here, to make our life balance and also the society balance. Because most people deal first with material things, but they think they deal with material things only in the way of getting and gaining. And therefore the Buddha teaches first giving to balance it. And if you give, then your life will be balanced and you will bring forth balance also in the society. And now the Buddha teaches us to give. But giving will make our life and society balance not only outside, but inside also. When we think of getting and gaining, what happens in our mind?
When we think of getting, how to get, our focus, our interest is focused on material things, on goods, not on people.
And then, when our interest is focused on the thing, on the goods, on the material, then we tend to suspect other people. We have suspicion on other people. Oh, other people, those people would like to get it also. And then automatically, those people become in our mind our adversary or our opponent. At least they become our competitor. Therefore, if we have a thought of getting, immediately we have in our mind the attitude towards other people as competitor. Therefore, the behavior of a person can cause some mental quality. Now you can see the behavior of getting or how to get causes an attitude in our mind, attitude to other people as competitor. And then if you, or if we, if we are more and more able to gain and to get, we develop ourselves in getting, we are experienced in getting, we can win, we can conquer other people, we can get first. And then when we have the ability to get and gain, we will have the attitude towards other people. We will look on other people as our prey. In the social system of interest and competition, you can see this, I think, rather clearly, that people will tend to look at other people first as competitors and then as prey. For those who are wealthy, those who can get very easily, then they think of other people as prey, how to get from these people. Advertisements is an example of this. In an advertisement, for those who advertise, do they have sincere sincerity or sincere goodwill to other people? When they say that, this goods is very excellent, it's excellent, it is very good, it is good to your health and so on. But what is the real motive in the mind? That is to get interest. And they will treat people as their prey rather than as friend. And therefore, with the thought of getting and gaining, we develop in our mind the attitude towards other people as competitors or prey. But in the opposite way, if we think of giving, now we have an intention of giving, we think of giving. Immediately when we think of giving, we think of other people. We do not think of the material. Our focus is now on the people. When we think of the people, we think of giving, we think of other people. Then we will look at the face of other people. When we think of getting, we do not look at their faces, but except as adversaries or opponents. But now, when we think of giving, we think of other people. We think that, to whom should I give? And then we will be interested in their life, in their happiness and unhappiness. We will be interested in their will and woes. And now, to whom should I give this? And then that person needs some help, needs something. He needs this thing, I should give it to him. And then we develop in our mind the mental quality of understanding other people and sympathy. Almost automatically, when we think of giving, this quality will develop in our mind. And then the quality of friendship, friendliness, sympathy, metta, karuna will develop in our mind. And we understand other people. We see their happiness and suffering and so on. And then when we give something to them, that is because of our real motivation of understanding and sympathy and compassion. And then what we want now is the desire for their happiness. We desire for them to be free from suffering. And then when we give to them, we also satisfy our desire. Our desire for them to be happy. And then when they become happy and free from suffering, our desire has been satisfied, has been met, and then we become happy. Now we can see that the happiness of the two persons become harmonious together. The happiness of the recipient means also the happiness of the giver. They become happy together. And now, in conduct, outer conduct or behavior, we have the virtue of giving, thana, dana. And inside develop, we develop also metta karuna, loving kindness and compassion. Therefore they come together. Behavior and mental quality. This is the way of developing man. And then, not only the behavior and mental virtue have been developed, happiness has also been developed. As in this example, you can see that now this man, this person, the giver, experiences another kind of happiness. That is the happiness from giving. Now, giving becomes happiness through the development of a person. And he has another source of happiness. The worldly people have only one source of happiness, that is through gaining and getting. But now, a developed person has the second source, another thought, another way of experiencing happiness, that is through giving. This happiness is harmonious. It is not good only to the life of the person, it is good to society also. It is the opposite of the first kind of happiness. The first kind of happiness is contentious. If I gain, you lose. If you gain, I lose, as mentioned before. But now, both gain, both people, both the giver and recipient. Therefore, it is harmonious happiness. And then it is good to life and society at the same time. And then another thing that can come as an increase of happiness for one who develops himself. When people try to get and gain, as I mentioned before, their happiness is dependent on material things outside. And they lose the independence or freedom even more and more. Not only that they lose freedom and independence, they lose the ability to have happiness also. They lose the ability to be happy. We think that if we get those and these things, we will be happy. And then we seek for material things, we gain, we have much, we have wealth, we enjoy the wealth. But as our happiness is dependent on those material things, it will go in this way that the amount of the thing that can cause us to be happy will have to increase also. At first, we can be happy by enjoying this amount of material things. And then we will become more difficult to be happy when we become when we become when we become accustomed to those amount of things, of material things, we will not be so happy as before. At first, we think that if we gain this amount of material things, we will be very happy. We will be extremely happy, and then we get it, and we become really happy at first. But after some time, we become accustomed to it, and then we are not happy as so much happy as before with those kind of things or with that amount of things. And then we decide for more. And then when we get that more amount of material things, we become happy. And then we become accustomed to it again, and we desire for more and more and more and more. And then we need more and more material things to make ourselves happy. Then we become more difficult to be happy. We also lose the ability to be happy. Many people become more difficult to be happy when they grow up in the world. And this is the development in the bad way. We lose balance again. This means we try to develop our ability to get things. And really, we have succeeded in developing ourselves, in ourselves, the ability to seek for things. We become more and more able to seek for material things and to get them to make ourselves happy. And then even education has gone along in this way. Sometimes education may even mean the development of a person, the development in a person, the ability to get and gain things, material things, to make them happy. This is the meaning of education. But this is imbalance, because we lose the ability to be happy. In ourselves, we have the potential for happiness. We will not develop this potential. In the opposite way, we even lose it. We destroy it. Therefore, we become more and more difficult to be happy. To have a good life, we have to be balanced, even in the development of this ability, these two kinds of ability. The first ability is the ability to seek for things to make ourselves happy. And then the second ability inside is the ability to be happy. For those who do not develop the ability to be happy, they will lose it. They will become more and more difficult to be happy. And they will need more and more material things to satisfy themselves. And they will be more and more dependent on material things also. Therefore, in Buddhism, we say that man should be developed in a balanced way, in a balanced way. That means if you develop the ability to seek for things, to get things to make you happy, you should also develop the ability to be happy. If you develop the ability to be happy, your happiness will depend less and less on material things or outside, outer material things. And then when you have more and more ability to seek for things, then you get more and more material. But you need less and less. You get more and more, but you need less and less. You need less and less things to make yourself happy. And now, what you will do with the material things that you get more and more? Then you can share them with other people. You can give them to other people. By this way of developing ourselves, it is good to our life and also to society. Therefore, the rien or right development of a person is good not only to a person but to society and also to the environment. When you need less and less to make yourself happy, you consume less and less also. And then, what about the natural resources? And then we do not destroy. We do not cause the deterioration of the natural resources. And we do not cause pollution in the environment through our consumerism. Because if we consume too much, we have to produce too much also. When we produce too much, we cause pollution even more to the production. And then in the production, not only the decrease of the natural resources, but the deterioration of the environment. Therefore, this is the right kind of development. Then, now we have developed the happiness from giving. And we develop the ability to be happy. The two will support each other. As I mentioned before, when we become easier and easier to be happy, as we develop the ability to be happy, we become easier and easier to be happy. We need less and less material. And then we are even more prepared to give. And as we have the ability to get and gain, we get more and more. We have many things, but we need less. Then we can give to other people. We can give and then we can gain happiness through giving again. And then through this kind of development, we can gain even more happiness, even easier to be happy, and at the same time get more happiness also. This is another way of getting or gaining happiness through developing oneself. And then through this kind of development also, we will have another way of being happy. When we develop ourselves, our life will be more in accord, in concord with the way of nature.